May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I should first tell you that I've had help in creating this sermon from the work of the late Sidney Carter. It was on a Friday morning that they took me from the cell, and I saw they had a carpenter to crucify as well. We'd heard about it, of course, while they held us in jail. News and more substantial stuff slips in and out of a prison a lot faster than you might think. The Kingdom of Heaven. This character had been talking a long time, I'd heard, about inviting people into the Kingdom of Heaven. And there's no doubt that the powers that be did not like that word. What kingdom? Who is the king? They've seen him as a threat. So just last night, they brought him first to Pilate, saying they'd found him perverting the nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, saying he himself is the Messiah, the king. Apparently Pilate asked him straight, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And you know what he said? He looked at Pilate and he said, "So you say." Cool as a cucumber. It seems they took him to Herod, and there he was completely quiet. Back to Pilate. Well, Pilate could see it was a put-up job. There was no way this guy was a real threat to the status quo. Quite a few followers, but none of them armed. A guy who blessed the poor, but told them to be happy to be reviled. An insurrectionist who told his army to love their enemies and pray for their persecutors. Some insurrectionist. I don't think so. The reason the whole jail was buzzing late that Friday morning was that word went round that if Pilate looked like letting this bloke, this carpenter, go free, then the priests and their allies would ask for an alternative reprieve, would insist on Pilate crucifying this Jesus, but get him to let someone else go instead. You can imagine how we all sat up and smiled beautifully at our jailers, like butter wouldn't melt. To be flogged and set free, that would be the best Passover present, and no mistake. We couldn't believe it when they came for Barabbas. We were all guilty as hell of charges as stated, but Barabbas, he was something else again, the nastiest piece of work you could ever hope not to meet. Pilate decided to go for him. Some justice. I looked at Solly and he looked at me, and I could see we were thinking the same thing. Will this Messiah chap, this carpenter, this man we know is innocent, will he still think so much of his kingdom of heaven? Will he believe in a place that's good and fair? We wanted to say, now Barabbas was a killer, and they let Barabbas go. But you are being crucified for nothing here below. Your God is up in heaven, and he doesn't do a thing, with a million angels watching, and they never move a wing. They brought him out just after us. We had to stagger under the weight of our crosses all the way to the place of the skull. And the carpenter didn't make it all the way. They had to grab someone in the crowd to take his cross. I won't try to describe crucifixion or say what it feels like. It's grim. I'll just pick out bits that might strike you. You know, I said I had it on good authority that this guy told people to love their enemies and pray for their persecutors. He didn't abandon all that what Solly would call cut pie in the sky, because he only went and did it himself. The crowd who'd gathered, they were the types who get a kick out of watching a crucifixion. They wouldn't let him forget why he was there. He called himself a king. The soldiers had a go. "So you're the king of the Jews. Looks like it." And someone had written an inscription they put over his head. "This is the king of the Jews." They were doing all this, and still he said it. "Father, they don't know what they're doing. Please forgive them." He talked to God like they were friends. Of course, all the people who mocked and wrote slogans, they thought they were being deeply ironic. Yet, in a strange way, the sarcasm got lost. That's what I felt. I remembered that Roman soldier I got talking to once when I was on a job. I had to distract him while Solly did the needful to get hold of the valuables. This chap described things he'd seen in Rome. The massed ranks of troops, the salutes, the hymns praising the emperor, the sacrifices to the emperor, the new buildings to honour the emperor, the marches, the processions. It made you think, if Pilate's an insecure megalomaniac, which he is, this idiot in Rome must be more insecure, more uncertain of who he is, more terrified of being found out. Always the risk of people realising he's just a bloke. All that reassurance, all that ever-increasing hype, all that drivenness to acquire more territory, to get and spend more money. Who are fools like this trying to impress? Oh, Solly and I have been there in a small way, always eyeing up the chance to trick, to deceive, to rob and enjoy the loot. But Pilate and Herod and Augustus, they are tricksters, liars, plunderers too, just more successful. You see, the thing was, the carpenter had been stripped and flogged and mocked and abused, and yet he hadn't been touched. You could see he'd known what lay in store for him, and he didn't welcome it. But he was in charge of himself. That's the only way I can put it. He knew who he was. He didn't need all the stuff that kings and emperors go for. There was a peace, a warmth about him. I knew that if he really is the king of the Jews, maybe the king of the world, then he is subverting the whole idea of kingship. Or perhaps it's the other way round. Perhaps his kind of kingship is the real McCoy, and it's human ideas of what a king is, which are the travesty. It came to me that he'd always talked about the kingdom of God, and here, somehow, was the fulfillment of it. This place where he was meeting human evil head on, but was not diminished by it. This place where he was able to demonstrate to his followers what it could look like to take God seriously, to take up a cross, to be so focused on God that you don't retaliate and can still pray for your enemies. This place of the skull has become the place where the king of the world leads his troops into battle. No boy soldiers going first, picking their way through the landmines. Nothing about the leader staying back in a safe place. This is the leader of his people being the leader. Now I could see Solly was already struggling to breathe. He was muttering something though. I could see he was angry. Angry about Jesus, angry about Barabbas, about the two of us. I think he was saying, "It's God they ought to crucify instead of you and me." But if God ever expressed God's self in human terms, if you could ever see God, Wouldn't it be in this man dying between us, the man with so much greater dignity than any human king can claim, the man who was accepting with all his being the suffering, the onslaught, but not letting it change him? Could you say that in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell? It was my turn to gasp. The moment demanded great words, but all I could get out was just this: "Goodbye and good luck to you. Our ways will soon divide. Remember me in heaven, the man you hung beside." I knew that if what was happening to him now didn't extinguish his life in God, nothing would. I knew that he would come into his kingdom. Amen.